Jaguars Digital. Jaguars Digital.
Hand off to the right side of Corey Grant. There's some room for Corey. In the Colts territory, 45, go to 40, into the open field of the 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown! Corey Grant has gone the distance and extended the lead for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Van Castle drops the throw, throws the left side, that ball is
intercepted. Jalen Ramsey, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! A pick six for Jalen Ramsey, and the Jags are pouring it on the Tennessee Titans.
Jaguars Drive Time. Brian Sexton, John Osier, Ashlyn Sullivan. Jaguars Drive Time starts right now.
Good morning and welcome to Jaguars Drive Time on TuneIn Radio and on Twitter at Jaguars. I'm Brian Sexton, along with John Osier and Ashlyn Sullivan. We'll get to what this is in the next couple of minutes. But first of all, let's start with some headlines. The first is the Jaguars start a brand new digital media show today called Jaguars Drive Time. I'm Brian Sexton. That's John Osier. And
yes, it is.
This is groundbreaking.
Yes, it is.
And the question for you is, are you ready for it?
Well, I'm ready. I've never been on this side of the studio, so I'm a little off kilter.
It is throwing you
a little bit off. But I'll be all right.
A couple of headlines, and then we'll introduce Ashley and talk about big things. The first is that the Jaguars have five new players this
morning. Yes, they do.
Five. Big number.
It is, at the same time, you've been around the league long enough. The bottom of the roster, I get that five is a big number. It's 9% or whatever, which is a big number. But at the bottom of the roster, these games are decided by the top 45, 48 players. I'm never that concerned when you turn the bottom of the roster, especially when you've got a new regime, which Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone, in a real sense, are a new regime. Remember, when Tom Coughlin took over early in this offseason, a lot of these guys that they picked up were already on 90-man rosters. So this is the first chance at a lot of these guys. It's never surprising when you have this kind of a churn in the first year with a guy here.
All right, so the observation that comes to mind first, and that most people will see, is that Brandon Allen is gone.
Yes.
Right? And he played pretty well the other night. Now, he threw the three interceptions, but
right.
He showed arm strength. Okay, we're talking about a prospect here, right? We're not talking about
Correct.
A guy you're expecting to go out and start. So I'm talking about his arm strength. I'm talking about his mobility out of the pocket. I get the three interceptions, but he looked like a guy that was salvageable, a guy that you would have on the roster and continue to develop.
Yes. 3 weeks ago.
You hesitated. You didn't think so?
I hesitate because of this. If Blake Bortles doesn't play well this year, is there any doubt in your mind they're changing quarterbacks?
No.
Right. So do you think that Brandon Allen is a guy that's going to be a starter or a backup here next year?
No. I could have seen him as a backup, yeah.
Perhaps. But chances are you are not letting your future starter out the door when you release Brandon Allen.
It's not tragic.
So
no, I get
in that.
That
sense, if Blake Bortles doesn't turn career around, you probably have a reset of the quarterback room in 2018. If they didn't see Brandon Allen being a part of that, if they weren't very optimistic he was going to be a part of that, then I understand the mood to release him. It's a topic today. I don't know that it's something you're going to look back on in the long run and forget and regret.
We'll be done with the topic today.
Right.
There are a lot of people that thought Brandon Allen was a guy who should have been in the conversation, not in this room, right?
Right.
When the quarterback competition was open in mid-August.
Never underestimate the difference between a regular season and preseason in terms of game planning.
Absolutely.
And, you don't game plan in the preseason. So, and I never underestimate the difference. When they look at a guy against starters compared to against third team, it's a dramatically different look.
I thought he was your next Chad Henne, right? I know most people don't develop backup quarterbacks. But you know, when you draft a guy in the sixth round, and he's got a nice arm, and he has mobility, he looks like the kind of guy, coach's son,
right.
Understands the game, looked like a guy to me that you could develop. Look, Chad Henne makes $4.5 million. This kid makes $600,000.
Right.
Right? Not even yet. In time. I thought you could develop your backup quarterback. Clearly, that's not the way they're looking at this.
Yeah, they didn't see him developing into a backup. And I think for this year, regardless of what people thought, regardless of what people think of Chad, they've seen him. Oh, we've seen this. Why not give the kid a shot? They clearly believe that Chad Henne if Blake Bortles falters, it's much closer over here, Chad Henne, Blake Bortles, than it is Chad Henne, Brandon Allen over here. So I get the difference. I thought 3 or 4 weeks ago that Brandon Allen was probably going to get released after the last couple of games.
So you're prescient. You saw this coming.
Well, and you talked to people, and there wasn't a whole lot of feel. Doug Marone came out first, second day of training camp and said, Chad Henne's the backup. It was not a competition at that point between Brandon Allen and Chad Henne. So I thought maybe that had changed in the last couple of weeks with Brandon Allen playing well. Apparently it didn't.
All right. So Jaguars Drive Time on TuneIn Radio and on Twitter. One of the things that we'll do every day is big things. John, big things could be one. It could be seven. It could be 14. Today we have five big things. And we'd like to introduce you now to Ashlyn Sullivan, the newest member of our team. And she will have big things for us every week. So what's first up? First of all, good morning, Ashlyn.
Good morning to you guys. Can't wait to spend this Monday morning with you and Friday mornings. Pretty excited.
Mondays and Fridays, 8:30 Eastern Time live. And, of course, it'll go up on Jaguars.com. You're the social media person. How old are you?
22.
22, right. So we're going to count on you for all the social media stuff so I don't have to mess with it, because I think I famously have called the hashtag a pound sign.
Just once. You learn from it, though.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure that I have. We'll find out where it goes. Anyway, welcome. What's the first big thing on the list this morning, Ashlyn?
So the first big thing for this week is the devastation that Hurricane Harvey recently caused on the Houston area. Now Hurricane Irma coming towards Florida. We don't really know what's going to happen. And now this Sunday with the Jaguars and Houston game, none of us work for the Weather Channel. We don't even know if Hurricane Irma is going to hit Florida. However, what do we think is that impact for this game? Now, I think now seeing the Houston Astros go back to Houston and play baseball, I think the NFL is going to make it happen in Houston.
You know, you're right. I think it is. And, John, when I woke up this morning and looked to see if there had been any decision made, I saw nothing. It's not even a question anymore, it appears, that they'll play the opener in Houston this week. Despite the devastation, flooding, debris everywhere, they feel like playing the game there is not a hindrance to the recovery, doesn't cause any problems.
Well, I sort of assumed I didn't hear anything over the weekend that we would be going to Houston this weekend. I talked to John McClain, Houston Chronicle NFL writer, last night, sort of talking more about the game than about the situation in Houston. Didn't even really ask if he thought it'd be played, because the whole tone of our conversation was that the game's being played there. He sort of cited the whole, look, this is a community that's rallying behind this. Talked about J.J. Watt running out with the Texas flag on Sunday and the spirit that will give the community. No sign from listening to John last night that they weren't going to play this game in Houston.
Have you seen this tweet? Have you seen? We'll get to Watt in just a moment. But I have to point out, $18.5 million that he raised, that he's called for. And so when you talk about John McClain talking about that on Sunday night, buckle up, it's coming.
Yeah, and John mentioned when he comes out with the flag, and he said, I'm only assuming that'll happen, but the visual is not hard to picture. It'll be as loud as that stadium's ever been, and you can imagine if you saw the game in New Orleans a few years back, Hurricane Katrina, the aftermath of that. I don't think this is quite that because of the time. My sense is this is not quite that, but it will be an enormous roar, and it could be a story that goes on all season if the Texans get hot and rally behind this.
Well, and go back to Ashlyn. It was one of our other big things. So jump it up on the list here, Ashlyn. The guy is a superstar. Gotten even his legend, his fame. What do you call it?
Honestly, I think he's very similar to the Tim Tebow of our era. I mean, obviously Tim Tebow was nowhere near the talent on the field, but you see how he's using his football power for good. And I think that's awesome and it's great. But I wanted to ask you guys, yes, they'll come out with passion, they'll come out with drive on the field, but do you see what's going on in Houston as almost maybe a distraction to football?
Well, you know, my thought was they might not play the game here this week for this reason. There are still people that are living in hotels, mm-hmm. right? There are people who are, they're not people, deceased people that they're finding. They're finding right. people who drowned or who suffered in the flood. There is a level of devastation, and it seemed to me like maybe it would have been smart at one point not to try to force a football game into this. And then Watt gets behind the idea. If he wasn't an icon before, he's certainly an icon now. I mean, he is Houston.
Does this mean I have to like J.J. Watt?
I think it does. I think secretly inside you did.
I'll respect him. How about that? I'll respect him.
I think secretly inside you did.
I still don't have to like all the flexing and the ball stuff before the game.
He's a hell of a showman. There's no doubt about it.
But it's easy for Jaguars fans. Jaguars fans hate J.J. Watt. Yeah.
Well, he's destroyed your offensive line.
You can't deny what he's done. You can't deny the good and the number. $18 million is a phenomenal number. So in reference to the game being played there, I'm not privy to the conversations between the NFL and Houston, but I'm sure they've been ongoing. And at some point, the city of Houston and the people involved, the team wanted to play the game. It sounds like the momentum is for that. So if the city of Houston wants to do it, I think Shad Khan's message last Monday or Tuesday was, hey, whatever they want, we'll do.
All right, so that's Jaguars Drive Time. We're just getting started here. Very first morning of it, Labor Day morning. Hopefully you're going to enjoy a nice day in the sun wherever you're at. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, more big things and headlines for you here as the first week of the regular season is upon us.
Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group is the only local show taking you inside the huddle with your favorite team.
Give me everything you've got. Let's go.
Each week, Jags big man in the middle, Calais Campbell, and a teammate join Jeff Lagerman and me, Brett Martineau, at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale for insight and access you can't get anywhere else. Come out and be a part of the show live or tune in Mondays at 7 p.m. on CBS 47, your official Jaguar stations. Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group. Don't miss out.
Jags fans, it's time to win today. Get Jaguar season tickets so you don't miss a minute of the action at the bank this fall.
Touchdown! A pick six for Jalen Ramsey!
When you lock in on any season ticket package, you win today. Receive exclusive member benefits, including Jaguars playoffs and Daly's Place concert purchasing priority. Be a part of the number one game experience in the NFL. Visit jaguars.com/win today and pick your seats. Call 904-633-2000 today.
Back on Jaguars Drive Time, Monday, Labor Day, week one in the National Football League. The sun's coming up in Jacksonville. Hopefully it's a beautiful day. Jaguars will be on the practice field later today. Obviously, we'll have some time to talk to the players and hear from head coach Doug Marrone. And all of that will be up on Jaguars.com. Back now to big things. And Ashlyn, let's go on to our third big thing for Monday morning. What you got?
Well, the Jaguars' offensive line has been a hot topic all throughout the preseason. Everyone knows that. But this week, an executive vice president of football operations, Tom Coughlin, says he saw some improvement against the Atlanta Falcons and even went as far to say that this position now has depth. Now, I think we won't know until we go up against Houston on Sunday really how much depth in that position we really have.
John, it's timely that we're talking about the offensive line after we talked about J.J. Watt.
Sure.
Right? Who didn't play last year and still the Texans were able to get a lot of pressure against the Jaguars, especially in Houston. So what did you see in Atlanta from the guard position? Because I'm not sure.
Boy, I hope Tom's right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know,
it's all I can think of.
And I say that way because everything you saw in the preseason was that this team struggled to run big time, struggled to pass protect at times, but the run game was more the issue to me. The Jaguars side of it is they really don't scheme in the preseason to run the ball, and scheming to run is a big deal in the NFL right now. They also didn't have Leonard Fournette. So those are two factors that you say, okay, maybe that gives them the pop that they want. Because this team's going to want to run. It doesn't matter what they did in the preseason. They're not going to change their philosophy. They want to run. They're Leonard Fournette. They're going to try to grind it out, so forth and so on. It's hard for me to picture. You usually don't come out of nowhere to be a power running great offensive line. You usually have to see signs of it. We haven't seen signs of it. So that's it's a huge concern. If they turn it around in a week, more power to them. But I get why fans are concerned about this area because the team inside the building is concerned about the area.
Well, you've got Jeremy Parnell, who will see plenty of J.J. Watt, but you know, having seen the Texans over the years, you know he moves all over the place. Mm-hmm. And Cam Robinson with Whitney Mercilus. Remember the game there in 2015 where Whitney Mercilus just turned Luke Jokel.
Do I need to check my phone here? Because
inside and out.
I think Clowney plays for that team too, Brian.
Yeah, and I'd forgotten all about Jadeveon Clowney.
Don't forget him.
No, because he played so well there last December. So you've got these three magnificent pass rushers and an offensive line that struggled up front to stop the pass rush. They didn't do a good job against that in
the
preseason.
Do we even need to go Sunday? I mean, is that It doesn't sound from you like we have a chance. No, and it's a monumental task for a team that is unsettled. As of right now, I don't know who starting left guard is. So it's an unsettled situation going in. You don't want to – this is in no way ideal. Can they make enough plays? Can they do enough to squeak one out this weekend and get this thing settled?
Well, here's
because
what I'm
this
saying.
Is a tough situation.
Well, I get it. But here's what I see is I see a group that Tom Coughlin said played better, that has some depth, right? Perhaps has some depth. But is a group that didn't play all that well together
right.
in the preseason, but now they have to start out playing well together.
Well, they didn't even play together for the most part. I'm not sure if Earl Watford's not starting. I mean, I have no idea about that, but Earl Watford played well the other night. He clearly is on the team. Patrick Amame, left guard. The other person who started left guard is Luke Bowenko. He's in Baltimore now. So the left guard is entirely unsettled. I think we know that Cam Robinson, Brandon Linder, and Jeremy Parnell are the starters. I assume A.J. Can is, but I don't know.
Do you remember from his opening press conference of training camp, Doug Marrone said, we'd like to have our offensive line situation settled when we go to New England.
Sure.
That's a month ago.
Well, it's not always ideal in this league. Sometimes you have to patchwork, and right now they're realistically patchworking on the interior. You're supposed to be able to do that in this league. If you have good tackles and you have a good center, you're supposed to be able to patchwork the guard. So far, this team in the last couple of years has had trouble patchworking that spot. I can't sit here and say I'm confident that they're going to be a good running team early in the season, but it is something that over time with continuity historically can develop after it struggles early.
You know, when you look at this game, the Jaguars offense right now, it's an unknown. There are weapons, obviously, but how good can they be? Can they score? Couldn't score last year when we were there. Same thing with the Texans.
Right.
Texans offense has lots of questions. This could be a defensive battle on Sunday.
Yeah, well, when I talked to John McClain last night, we joked that it might be the fastest game in the history of the league because all they're going to do is run. Both teams want to run. Historically, the Texans have been better the last couple of years. They have run better. They've been able to run when they want to run, and they've made the playoffs. So edge to the Texans in terms of history, in terms of what they do, the X factor is both teams have quarterbacks that are very uncertain. The Texans' quarterback situation is even more uncertain than the Jaguars. So,
and their offensive line situation, 2 years ago, that was one of the better offensive lines
right,
in the league.
It's not anymore.
No, they've lost a bunch of guys.
I asked John last night, I said, can Tom Savage do it? He's a starting quarterback over Deshaun Watson. His answer was nobody knows because he started two games, doesn't have a regular season touchdown pass or an interception. It's a complete unknown. And that's what gives you hope is that we've sat here all offseason and analyzed every flaw about the Jaguars, and it's easy to see what they don't have. They're struggling on the offensive line. Well, a lot of teams struggle with the offensive line. So can you cover that up? Can you make plays defensively? Can you make big plays? When I say the offensive line is going to struggle, it's not that there's not hope. It's that that's the area we're talking about right now.
All right, Ashlyn, back to you. What's next on your list of big things this morning?
Well, definitely one of them is whether the run or the passing game is going to be more prominent on Sunday. Now, we've heard all the time now throughout this preseason that Leonard Fournette is a three-down back, but we really haven't seen that due to his foot injury. But I think I'm ready to see it. I want to really see what that means with Leonard Fournette being a true three-down back in the NFL on Sunday.
Yeah, major storyline here. As much of the talk is going to be about Leonard Fournette mm-hmm. and the Jaguars wanting to run the ball, you've got Blake Bortles over here. Can't forget about that.
Right.
And the offensive lineup, you know, if there were bright spots in the preseason for the offense, it was D.D. Westbrook, it was Keelan Cole, it was Allen Robinson. So you would like to think the Jaguars would be able to run the ball. Chicken or the egg here, but do they have to run it to pass or do they have to pass it to run?
Well, I think you're going to run to pass because it's hard to imagine listening to this team the entire offseason that they're going to come out throwing the ball because they've wanted this to be the identity. They want Leonard Fournette to be the identity. They're going to run early. In the preseason, almost, I don't say all, but most of the first down plays were runs. So they're going to try to establish that. And the hope for this offense is that he's had nine carries. He's going to have more than nine carries in games. So can a dynamic, big-time physical back change the offense? The three-down back thing is interesting to me. I don't know that he's going to play a whole lot on third downs. The reason T.J. Yeldon's on this team is because he's a good pass blocker. I still think he's going to be your third down back, and you're going to see some Chris Ivory in the first down, in the base situations, probably one out of every four drives. So I don't know that you're going to see the diet of Fournette over the course of the whole game. in week one that you might in week five once they really get the rotation going.
All right, this is Jaguars Drive Time, our very first show here on Labor Day morning. We are live on TuneIn, 8:30 Mondays and Fridays all season long. And obviously we're also up on Twitter at Jaguars. So follow along, send us your tweets, your thoughts on what's going on with the Jaguars today and throughout the course of the week. We'll take another break when we come back. More big things, plus a snapshot of the Ozone today when we return on Jaguars Drive Time.
Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group is the only local show taking you inside the huddle with your favorite team.
Everything you've got. Let's go!
Each week, Jag's big man in the middle, Calais Campbell, and a teammate join Jeff Lagerman and me, Brett Martineau, at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale for insight and access you can't get anywhere else. Come out and be a part of the show live or tune in Mondays at 7 p.m. on CBS 47, your official Jaguar stations. Jaguars All Access, presented by Fields Auto Group. Don't miss out.
Jags fans, it's time to win today. Get Jaguar season tickets so you don't miss a minute of the action at the bank this fall.
Touchdown! A pick six for Jalen Ramsey!
When you lock in on any season ticket package, you win today. Receive exclusive member benefits, including Jaguars playoffs and Daly's Place concert purchasing priority. Be a part of the number one game experience in the NFL. Visit jaguars.com/win today and pick your seats. Call 904-633-2000 today.
We're back on Jaguars Drive Time. Brian Sexton, John Osier, Ashton Sullivan. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful day in Jacksonville. No issue with Irma yet.
Not yet.
We really didn't touch on that, right? It looks like South Florida is going to be more affected. But you've got a game between the Dolphins and the Bucs this week.
Sure.
And as much as we talked about the Jaguars maybe flip-flopping with Houston, they actually have a situation where they could cancel the game this weekend
right. Because
both teams have a Week 10 bye.
Right, and that's always fortuitous when that happens. I mean, I haven't checked out the Dolphins-Bucks situation. I do know I've been watching the Jaguars because if this thing hits around here and there's weather affected, it's right on top of that game. So it's Mother Nature is undefeated.
Yeah, so we got to follow that one closely, and all of you should follow it closely as well. Not weather service or weather channel people here, but if you just look at the cone, it looks like it's going to impact us in one way, shape, or form. So how would it be if they decided not to play in Houston this week and played in Jacksonville, and then all of a sudden that was bearing down on them?
Yeah, and again, I have no idea. I don't know if that was part of the conversation or not. So as of right now, it appears it's Houston. So that's where I'm at.
All right. First Jags Drive Time, obviously, big things is what drives our show. We have five of them today. Let's go back to Ashlyn Sullivan and talk about number five. And this one is interesting, Ashlyn.
It is interesting. Kind of a numbers game. Now, the curse of September, especially with the Jaguars. Now, the Jaguars are 4-20 in September since 2010, and they haven't won two games in September since 2008. Now, I think the reasoning behind that is you say that you get all these reps and you figure so many things out in the preseason, but how much do you really figure out in the preseason? And I think that's why they struggle in September, because they still don't know what's going on. Offensive line is a perfect example where he said he wanted it figured out in New England, and we're still talking about it here week one of the regular season.
It's a great point, John, and that is that this team's September woes, and look, to be frank, I mean, we have not seen teams the last few years that were even legitimate playoff hopefuls.
Right, I was going to say, unfortunately, it's not just September. It's been the whole season.
And it has been the whole season, but if you want to give yourself a chance, you can't be 0-4 at the end of September or 1-3. I mean, you heard the numbers there. They haven't won two games in the month of September since 2008. So here we are 10 years later now, and you've got to find a way to get started. The schedule it's never easy in the NFL, but Houston, Tennessee, the game in London against the Ravens, and then the Jets in New York. 2-2 does not seem like a ridiculous request, does it?
It shouldn't be.
Come on, win two.
With this team right now, I've predicted that it can be a round of 7-win team. I believe that before Blake Bortles struggled in the preseason, I believe it now. But in order to do that, they have to get a few in the division, you have to get a couple at home in the division, and you have to beat the teams in the schedule that it looks like you ought to beat. You have to beat teams like the Jets and the Browns and the teams that everybody's sort of circling and saying, well, that team is sort of struggling in the same way that the Jaguars have struggled in recent years. The X factor here is you really don't know based on preseason. We can all assume what the offensive line is going to be. We can all assume what the quarterback is going to be. But we haven't seen this offense really scheme under Nate Hackett. It's a brand new offense. We haven't seen this defense. So the exciting thing to the season is you might think you know based on preseason, but preseason historically is such a bad gauge that it really is a new day when the season starts. And I'm not Joe Optimist over here, but it truly is. Can they win in September? It's key for this team for a lot of reasons, not just the history of what we're talking about. But you've got a new coach, a new program, a lot of new situations. You have a lot of uncertainty over quarterback. You don't want to start off 0-2 and 0-3 and have players start sitting around going, well, what's going on? Why is this not working? You want to have some success because you've had a lot of messages that you want reinforced in the locker room, meaning messages from the coaching staff. This is how we're going to do things. Well, those things that they're going to do need to work.
Now, Doug Marrone is going to join us on this program on Fridays at 8:40. So you'll want to be a part of that. And he's not Joe Optimist either. I mean,
No.
He's a guy that's very, very realistic.
Yeah.
But even the coach would have to agree that the month of September sets up. I mean, it's not like you're going to the Patriots and to the Broncos and seeing the Seahawks come here, right?
Right.
It sets up with the potential for them to get off to a good start.
Yeah, but he doesn't say that.
No. No, and he won't
and
say
And he can't, obviously.
And he won't say it. Although I imagine when we see him on Fridays for the very first time on the show, that he will be energetic.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, it's opening weekend. And no matter how many of them that you've been through, you enjoy it because the energy level in and around your franchise is, hey, let's get ready to go do this
sure.
thing.
And that really was the message for Tom Coughlin the other day when he was on the conference call. There were several times where he said, hey, let's go play. And at some point, you can sit here and you can analyze. You can talk about what the team is, what the team isn't, what they didn't do at the third guard position. At some point, it's time to stop talking about it and let's go see what you got.
I just think when you look at the first couple of weeks, if you can just get off to a reasonable start as opposed to digging from the 0-3, right, the 0-4 that we've seen in recent years here,
they need to do something in September to give fans a little hope.
That's it.
It gives themselves a little hope.
To be energetic.
Right.
To give us a little hope. We'll take it, too.
And it can't be a situation last year when they lost to the Packers, it was, well, we had a good loss. Well, this team needs to have more than good losses. This team needs success early, again, to reinforce the messages.
Before we go, best question to the Ozone over the weekend?
The best, I don't know. The most typical was probably something along these lines. It was Jeff from Jacksonville writes, I don't understand why the Jags let Brandon Allen go. I'm sure a team like the Packers would have jumped at the chance to do a player-for-player swap with Aaron Rodgers. And which is kind of
Wait, I was going to ask you what the worst question is. That's not the worst?
It's in there. You know, but and it sort of sets it, you know, a lot of questions about Brandon Allen. At the same time, let's keep perspective what happened over the weekend. When you're cutting the bottom of the roster, you're still cutting the bottom of the roster.
That's like something we should put up on a quote board somewhere.
Yeah.
When you're cutting the bottom of the roster, folks, don't forget you are still cutting the bottom of the roster. Storylines this week, anything in particular you're following besides the offensive line?
Offensive line, obviously quarterback's a storyline until he proves he's not.
And so Blake Bortles will be the question. Ashlyn, come to you one final time here before we sign off on Jaguars Drive Time. First of all, did you like the show?
Love the show. Yeah, I think it went well, the first one. What do you guys think?
You're good with it?
I'm good with it.
Okay.
I'll stick around.
This is your first week. Your first regular season week. What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to seeing the difference because everyone has told me how different the preseason is to the regular season, but I've never seen it firsthand, so I'm pretty excited to see what that real difference is.
It's a great answer. You're good at this. Thanks for joining us.
No problem.
All
right. Be here Friday.
So that's it for this first edition of Jags Drive Time on TuneIn Radio and on Twitter. We'll see you Friday. Doug Marrone joined us as a special guest. For John Osier and Ashlyn Sullivan, first of all, happy Labor Day, and we'll see you Friday.